Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title, it's a big book, love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, Composed with Love by my nephew Miles Debastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Unfortunately, my co-host and producer, Nicole, can't join me tonight. As you know, she's working on a movie. She works on The X Factor and America's Got Talent, and she's also producing a music video. She's quite busy. So tonight was one of those nights she couldn't make it. And, of course, I'm going to greatly miss her and hope that I don't mess up the switchboard too much. Anyway, thank you for joining me tonight. The Best of contest is starting on Long Island Press again. If you get a moment, please go over to my website, which is www.grantmeahigherlove.com. And on the homepage, gives you some information how you can help me win Best Psychic again. And I would really appreciate if you would. I have a couple of upcoming events that those of you in the New York area may be interested in attending. On November 13th, starting at 5 o'clock in Exo Restaurant in Huntington, and you can find all this information on my website, which is Grant Me a Higher Love. I'll be doing a psychic night, so that's great. You can get a dinner and a psychic reading. I have another psychic night coming up in another restaurant, but it's going to be a little bit different because this is going to be a group reading, and it's in the Blue Restaurant Nightclub in Blue Point, New York, and it's December 9th from 6 o'clock to 11 p.m. It's a long evening. You get dinner, and then we're going to just have this wonderful group reading. I'm also going to be at the New York Witch Festival on Saturday, October 26th from 10 to 3. I'll be doing a lecture and psychic readings, and that's in Smithtown at the Vanderbilt Parkway at the Sheraton Hotel. So I'm glad that you're joining me tonight. I can see we have a lot of callers, and I'm going to just jump right in with the first of all, I can see my husband is calling in, so let me see what my husband TJ has to say. Hi, TJ. Where are you calling from?
Oh, hi, sweetheart. I'm just really surprised because I just put the headphones on and I'm in front of a Starbucks, and I thought I would just zip in to listen to your show. Little did I realize that I'm actually wearing those headphones on the street like an idiot. Excuse me. Anyway, I love you, and everything's fine. I'm going to bring you some Chinese food tonight because I know you're working hard. And hello, Nicole, if you're there.
No, and, Nicole's not here tonight.
Oh, and did you remind everyone that they can vote for their favorite psychic by going to your website, Grant Me a Higher Love, and then clicking the thing on voting, and they can help you retain your best psychic of Long Island by Long Island Press.
Yeah, I did tell them, and thank you for reminding them as well.
Well, I didn't know. I take a first phone call. I love you, dear. I'll see you later.
Okay, bye, dear. Okay, let me go over. I'm going to push this 570 number, and I do believe this is a woman. With this, her maiden name is the same as mine, Sansone, and she also hyphenates her name. Hi, Cindy, you're on the air.
Hello, Cindy. This is Doreen Sansone.
Hi, Doreen. I know, it's so funny.
Hi.
We don't give up that Sansone name, do we?
No, you can never give it up. That's how I came to find out about you. I was Googling the last name, and I came across all your information. So I too, have always been interested in, like, all anything to do with, like, the psychic ability of people. And you just amaze me. I can't believe all the other talents you have as well.
It's funny. I must have had a lot of lifetimes because when I tell people, I've been a professional belly dancer, Hawaiian dancer, children's entertainer, playwright, aerobic teacher, yoga teacher. I mean, I've had a million hats. And so I've kind of reinvented myself a lot. And the psychic is one of the newer things for me, by the way. I mean, I've been doing it about 18 years, but a lot of the other stuff I did a lot longer. So,
well, I find that you are, like, truly amazing, I have to say. And I did vote for you.
Thank you so much. You're very sweet. And I know that you have a little bit of psychic ability yourself, and it does run
in the Santone family, yes.
Yeah. Yes, it does, very much so. So I'm not surprised that you would say, you know, sometimes you feel like you have this little psychic stuff. And you said it runs in your family. I think you were mentioning that your daughter has it.
I believe my little grandson has it.
The grandson, okay.
Mm-hmm. My little grandson, I believe he has it as well.
Wow.
And I have met like people that I haven't met in life, but I've met them after they passed over. I mean, that's kind of crazy, but it happens. That's another show, I guess.
I mean, it's actually easier now when I talk to dead people that I knew when they were alive than it is to just totally talk to the people I've never met before. But
well, I met a good friend's mom, and she happened to be sitting in my friend's car after we had gone to a mall. And I said to my friend, I said, I don't think you locked your car. I said, look at the little old lady sitting in the car. And she looked at me. She said, there's nobody there. I said, there's a little lady she could barely see over the steering wheel. And as I described her, she pulled out her mom's mask card, and that was the little lady that I did see, in fact, that night.
Wow. So, see, it's interesting. And, of course, they're not supposed to scare us. So, you know, sometimes, I'm not a big fan of a lot of television shows about psychic things because they tend to make it look scary a lot of times.
Yeah.
And it really isn't like that. I've never really seen anything scary. They don't terrify me. And I just want people to know you can try this at home. I mean, it's okay. They're respectful. They're not really supposed to do anything that would startle us or scare us. And, of course, because she was such a cute little old lady,
I thought she was like a little confused maybe, and I was going to help her to figure out where she needed to be.
Oh, isn't that funny? Well, even my neighbor when I moved in here, I always swore that there was like a little old lady that was always in the yard. And when I talked to him, I said, oh, you live with your mother? And he goes, no, my mother's dead. This was her house. I go, no, I see your mother all the time. And I realized, oh, man, I better shut up. So when I described her, he goes, yeah, that's her, but she's been dead for 20 years. I go, and I explained what I do for a living, but I really, really thought that she was alive. I mean, I wasn't even thinking this was my psychic ability. I saw her so many times puttering in the yard that I just assumed it's a living person. So he kind of laughed at me. She's always pruning the
bushes.
And he says, well, she was always pruning the bushes. Well, I wonder if there's any guidance I can give you tonight, since you've been...
Yeah, you know what? I wanted to start off by saying I didn't get your book yet, Grant Me a Higher Love, but I am going to, and I just think it's amazing. I read, like, parts of it that was on Amazon, and my mom and my dad, they didn't get along, like, in life, so they're both passed now, and I'm just wondering now, are they getting along?
No, it's
in
so
the
funny,
afterlife?
Because I got the cellmate card. Now, if you had told me they had loved each other well, I'm going to have to say no, 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 no. Now, know that they had started out as soulmates. I don't know if you know that they did love each other when they started out. Your dad is a very funny man, by the way. He's kind of claiming to have loved her, you know, heart, soul, mind, and body when he met her. But they relived a lot of the dysfunction that they saw growing up, and their love really did get quite toxic. And, they do visit with each other. They're in a little bit different realms from each other. And, your mom is a woman who, yes, she loved your father, but she didn't always like him. Are you aware of that?
They had, like I said, a weird relationship, and they weren't together for quite a number of years. My dad ended up where he was, like, in a hospital for at least a decade, and we would bring him home to visit my mom. And my mom worked at, like, a local college, so she was very young at heart, and she just loved being around the kids.
Right, and
so
of course...
So I think it kept her young.
Right, and with your dad, he's saying, you know, try not to judge us too much. But, you know, as far as they went, did they love each other? Very, very, very much so. And it's just that things got in the way. They both had their unhealed issues, your parents. It wasn't one or the other. They, you know, your mom's saying we were both wrong at times. And, you know, it really does take two people who are both a little bit narcissistic and judgmental to keep toxic love going for any length of time. They both had some anger issues. It was a safe place to vent it. But in terms of did they love each other, I by the time you came along, you maybe didn't see that. But
okay.
When they first met, it's very your mother's very, much to say she did love your father when she first met him. They were both sort of the prince and princess that became the beast. Neither one really showed all their colors to each other, by the way, until they got married.
My mom's colors were like a rainbow.
Yeah, I mean, they're both kind of taking equal responsibility
right.
for it. I don't know if you knew your mother's mother. Do you remember her?
I love my mom's mother,
right,
my grandma, yes.
Yeah, because your mother's mother thing, I didn't always understand what the mess they were doing either. But, she did say you were always a very good granddaughter. And that, you knew right from wrong from the day you were born. She doesn't know how you turned out okay from that mess. But, again, it was kind of better when your parents were, your mom sort of enjoyed the freedom that she had when
right.
your father wasn't there anymore. She would have never
uh-huh.
divorced him. I think she should have, but she never would have. So
okay.
it was, sort of gave her a little break from some of the fighting and all of the tension. When your father was good, he was very good. Do you remember that?
I remember, they were just, separate people. They were together, but it wasn't, a togetherness, a marriage kind of togetherness.
No.
We lived all in the same house. But, I mean, they weren't, together.
No, but, he had his good points, and,
mom definitely.
Had
he certainly did. They
right,
both
and
did, yes.
Right, and they're saying try to judge us as separate human beings, maybe not so much as a couple, because I think they really know that they could have done a lot better than they did. It was sort of they made their bed, lie in it, and
right.
probably they were soulmates that maybe should have lasted 3 to 5 years, and they would have learned all they needed to learn and perhaps should have moved on. It looks like, according to your mom, she probably should have divorced him, and again, they didn't really necessarily do that in those lifetimes. So,
right.
Your mom is just saying, try to remember the good times. There were some good times. They seem to be at peace about whatever it was. Both of them are pretty at peace.
That's great. Well, I had another question. I buried them in separate cemeteries because
good.
They didn't get together. They weren't together in life. So I've had that on my mind for almost a decade. Is it okay that I did what I did?
Yeah, they're in different realms in heaven, mind you. They're both in
yeah.
nice realms, but they really don't visit with each other, except, you're asking, so they're kind of here together. They're karmically
uh-huh.
free of each other. They're sort of,
okay.
We've been there, done that, and, so your mother is, really pretty happy that they're in separate cemeteries. I have to tell you that much.
Oh, I'm thankful for that because it always played on my mind thinking, oh, my goodness, what did I do,
No, you did what
I was ready
your
to
mom
go dig one
screaming.
Of them up.
Your mom was screaming in your ears, do this, don't bury me with him. And know that, they don't have animosity toward each other anymore. They're just karmically free. I don't think your mom wants to meet
That's
your dad
great.
In another lifetime. Your dad doesn't want to meet your mom. They're not angry at each other. They both have, they're both pretty fair about their marriage, taking full responsibility. They both could have been better. And just, they had other mouths to feed besides their own, so divorcing wasn't something
right.
they could really think about very much. And your dad got a lot of his karma burnt off by being in a nursing home because there was a lot of
right.
things he could have, should have, would have done better. And people were paid to take care of him, and it burned off karma. And he actually went to a fairly nice realm when he died because, he had suffered a lot on Earth. And,
right.
And just know that your mom wants to come back. She's very funny. She wants to come back sooner than later. She's not even sure if she's going to wait for you to come up here. She says, well, you'll know where I am down on Earth. She wants a career, just a career. Men, maybe. Babies, no. She really would just want a career. So it's
okay,
more...
Okay, my mom told me right before she passed, and I was an adult with two children myself, that there was another sibling that she had a miscarriage, 4 years before she had me, and I always felt like I had a sibling or siblings. And I was just wondering why she waited till she was ready to pass to tell me this information.
Because she never wanted the shadow of that baby's death to, like, be on you. She
Do you
just
know
thought
if it was,
a
boy or a girl or twins?
She's saying it was a boy and that, you know, your parents' marriage was in trouble at the time. And actually that being that was going to be born, just ask God, please don't let me be born into this mess. I don't think I'm going to survive it. So older souls sometimes who are born into dysfunctions are check out in miscarriage, stillborn. Nobody knows why a perfectly healthy baby stops breathing or SIDS. That being just didn't want to take it on. Now, who do you think that being is now on Earth?
Is that my grandson?
Exactly. So
is it my first grandson?
Your first grandson.
I have two grandsons. I have the first one is 3 years old, and I helped raise him from being like an infant, and I feel it may be him.
It is him. And your mom's saying,
wow.
So he waited for you, and he waited to be born now. But just know that your mom is saying he was up with God all those years and came down now. And that's why it was good she told you before she died, because now you could know.
And, oh, that's amazing. I'm just
and
so
she
thrilled.
Says, I watch over him, and he's a good boy. And just know that your mom is wants you to be happy and take care of all your family, because it's very important to her. And she is crying
a little
bit.
I certainly do. God bless
her. And who's Mary, by the way? Who's Mary?
Mary was my mother-in-law. That's my husband's mom.
Okay, because Mary, she's saying, can I say hello? And I'm like, sure.
Oh, gosh. Tell Mary, I love her so much and we miss her. She was the family glue.
And that's why she's very respectful. She goes, I know, I wanted your mom to speak first and your dad, but she says,
oh my goodness.
I wanted to tell you that I love you and I do watch over the grandchildren. And she
wow.
says, you know, I know that your husband probably would never get a reading and, you know, her son. So she's saying, could you just tell him that Mommy Mary said I love you and that he was the best son to her. So
oh,
I just think
so
it's
much.
Important that Mary came through. She's so polite. She goes, is it okay if I speak?
Oh, God bless her. She was an amazing woman. That she was a tiny little woman, and with tiny little feet, nobody could fill those shoes.
Right, and she's just
saying,
you
can. Amazing.
She says, you can. And it was
wow.
really, by the way, it was really Mary who
okay.
Made you find me.
Wow.
So Mary was saying, she just wanted you to know that she wanted to speak to you and she wanted to speak to your mom. And she knew that the Sansone name would get you. Do you know what I mean? You'd have to.
Wow, yes.
And
she has two sons now with her, though, that have crossed over. My two brother-in-laws are with her, Bob and Frank.
And funny because I was just going to say the name Frank because she was saying, like your father. My father was Frank Sansone. She goes, a name like that. So yes, she's happy to have her sons. She's asking you not to mourn for her. You're going to see us all again. Of course, your mom might not be up when you're ready to go, but she'll show you where she is on Earth because she's kind of getting anxious to be born, your mother. So,
oh, my God. I'm just wondering if my other son is engaged, if he has a child, if she's going to be coming back.
She probably it won't come into your family line. I think she's going to leave you alone. I think she's going to leave you alone. You might run into
her. Oh, my goodness.
In a different capacity, but I think she's choosing a different sort of a different path. So she may not even be born in the United States. It's funny.
Oh gosh! She was a happy wanderer even when she was here.
She goes, I don't want the United States. She's thinking maybe France. I mean, she's got her ideas, so who knows? But I don't think it's the United States.
Well, that's really amazing. I never thought I'd even hear from my mother-in-law. That's awesome.
So good, know that, and thank you for mentioning my book on the show. I don't mention it enough. I probably should. It is
well, you
a
know,
very
you have
helpful
to mention
book.
It because it's a life-changing book, and I mean, I've just gotten an opportunity to just read parts of it, and I'm definitely going to get the book, and it's just like, it's life-changing.
Well, thank you so much, and don't forget to call in again.
I will. God bless you, and thank you for everything. Thank you, Cindy.
Okay, bye.
Have a great evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Now, I'm going to go over. I think this is a 310. I think it's California. Hi, it's Cindy. You're on the air.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Good. And who is this?
Oh, this is Lynn.
Hi, Lynn. And where are you calling from? Is it California?
I am calling from California.
Good. And you've been waiting a long time, so you must have something on your mind, so why don't you share it with us?
Well, I don't think I've been waiting. Well, it doesn't seem that long. I just love that. I just enjoy listening. Well, this is about the man that I'm about to be with, and I want to find out what is his occupation. What does he do?
Okay, and you haven't met him yet, correct?
I have not met him.
Okay, I will tell you this.
Know.
He makes money.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. He's independent. It looks like something in the business world, by the way. He could have his own business.
Great.
And money isn't a problem for him, by the way. He's a man who, but he also likes what he does. Now, you have a grandfather who passed away that was in business. Do you remember him?
Well, I know he worked a long time. He didn't really own his own business, but he was a very hardworking man.
And what
he worked
he do,
during the
know?
Time of the Depression when a lot of people didn't have jobs. But he,
right,
because
he's a man like your grandfather to the extent good times, bad times, this man makes money.
Wow.
So he's also a little bit creative, so...
He's not just
like strictly a businessman. So, I mean, it could be a business, but it's a creative business, which is something very interesting here. So creative business, I don't know if he's in film or he's in, the clothing industry that he designs or something, but it's a very creative business.
Do you see a name for him, Cindy?
The reason I hate to give men names is because there's
four
names, Michael, John, James, and if you mimic James, you're going to say, so, you know, but it's not an unusual name, I'll tell you that much. It's more of
it's just like a simple,
like a William type name, you know, not one that's, he doesn't have some weird name, do you know what I mean? It's a kind of a common name. I think he has children, by the way, too.
Really?
Wow.
Because I'm an older woman. I mean,
I'm an older woman.
My kids are all grown. Yeah.
Well, these look like grown children, too, by the way. He may even have grandchildren, too. So I'm just saying there's like kids in the picture. He was family-oriented. Whatever reason he's not married, it might be a divorce, but he seemed to have liked being married, but didn't necessarily like being married to her. So, that's one thing, but he likes family. You know, he's a family oriented person. It's important to him. And,
is he a spiritual man? Is he?
I will tell
you
this:
like,
he's a kind of a person that doesn't necessarily talk the talk, but he walks the walk, which means
he
believes in God and he believes in integrity. He's a good human being. He's a good employer. Some people who, I call them the spiritual capitalists. They tell you they're spiritual, but it's really all about money. And it's all, you know what I'm talking about. And you deal with them in business and they cut your throat out. Realize that he's a man who is of spirit. I don't think he's not a religious man, but he's the kind of guy that has a very deep spirit. You'll know that. I don't think he talks New Agey or anything like that, but you'll know that. His values are very kind of old school, and he's very much a man of his word.
Oh, I love that.
And you could kind of bank on what he does. He's circling near you, Lynn, so I'm thinking maybe you need to get yourself out there a bit.
Ah, wow. So I should. So he's in my vicinity, probably.
Yeah, he's close by.
You know, I feel it. I feel it so often. I feel it so often, especially at night. I'm like,
God. I mean, you could, meet him going out with your friends. You could meet him walking in the neighborhood. You could meet him.
Yeah.
He's just, like, near. So, but don't sit home. You have to get out a bit, and.
Okay.
And try not to worry about money too much, by the way, because it's going to be okay, relax a little. Your mom has been gone for how long?
Oh, my mother. Oh, well, my mother's still. She's still. She's still in this realm. She's still living.
But there's another woman, like a mother figure. It could have been her mother, but.
Well, my grandma. My grandma's been gone for about 25 years or so.
You remember her at all?
Oh my gosh, yes. I was always by her side. I was always with her. She took me.
Because she doesn't resonate like a grandmother. She resonates closer to a mother. Like you had to be near her.
Yeah, well, she was. See, I spent a lot of time with her. I learned so much. She taught me very, you know, so many things. Yeah.
Well, she's the one who's gifting you with this soulmate because she's talking about your mother. You know, your mother isn't going to go to the other realm unless you've got a good man by your side. You know, she wants to see, you know, you taken care of. So
yeah.
Grandma said, I've got him coming for you. So, you know, you just keep your eyes open. And she couldn't love you more, she said. You were always good to her. And she never thought of you really as a granddaughter. She tended to think of you more like a daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
you
were
I knew
just
things
her
about,
heart.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you what?
She said you were my heart. You know,
Oh my God.
You know, and that you were such a good little girl that you made it a pleasure to be a grandmother.
Oh.
And
wow.
That's why she said you have a lot of love to give. And it's funny because she's saying my granddaughter doesn't miss so much being loved as giving love. So, you know, you have a lot. She says, you know, she's a giver too, but, you know, she says she's got to place that love she has somewhere. Close the chapter on your past relationships and know that this one is entirely different that's coming. You know,
okay.
this is a really good guy.
Oh, wow.
Really good.
Oh, thank you. Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, you have to call in and let us know when this love manifests because it really works very, very soon. What's your birthday? You don't have to tell me the year. Just
my
the month and the day.
My birthday is January 5th, 1956.
Okay, good. Because starting when your birthday year opens up January 5th, which parallels the new year, but coming with your birthday year, this is your year of love. So, you know, realize that you have a lot of changes on the horizon. You were married how long? Because your grandma didn't like
when
your
I was
husband.
Married, I got married young. I got married when I was 19. I was married for 16 years.
Because she didn't love your husband, your grandma, you know, from what she's observed. She goes, I'm not a fan of his, is how she's putting it. But,
yeah.
You know, she says, what can I tell you? But this is she's brought the perfect man for you. So write down what your ideal soulmate would be like. Some of the thoughts
I've been doing that for the last 2 days.
Good, because grandma's popped that thought in your head because it's very important because like when I met my current husband, I had written down a list the night before. I said, you know, let him be Italian, let him be a writer, let him be old-fashioned. And the next day I met him. He's Italian, he's a writer, he's old-fashioned. I was like, who put those thoughts in my head? I didn't think they were mine because I don't think I really care if somebody's Italian. I mean, half the time, but I never ever thought about that. So who popped the thought in my head? The people that brought us into alignment with each other. So if something pops in your head that you're going, why am I writing that down? Just write it down.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's the little marker that it's him.
Oh,
do you know what I mean? So pay attention to the thing you write down that you're not sure why you wrote it down.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you, Colin, and thank you so
thank
much
you
for,
so
for
much.
Listening to our show.
Thank you so much, Cindy. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of the day. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Okay, I'm going over to a 917 number. I'm hoping this is Jessica from last week, although it's a different number than I have written down. Hi, it's Cindy. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Julie.
It's Julie. Okay, hi, Julie. You know,
hi.
It's funny. I was expecting a Jessica to call in, and she has
almost...
Yeah,
you thought it's Jay, right?
But she has almost the same phone number as you, and I'm like, well, maybe she's using a different phone. So what's happening in your world today?
Well, you know, my ex moved out, and I'm very relieved, but I'm in the house right now where he kind of took over this summer and stopped paying me rent, and I was very relieved that I didn't have to evict him.
Good, because except for our listeners that don't know that you were trying to get rid of this guy, and it wasn't going to be easy.
We didn't think so, but he did leave when he said he was going to. He hasn't paid me, but he did leave the premises when he said he was going to. And now I'm in the house, and I'm just having a lot of, there's been some back and forth in emails between the two of us. I've been very businesslike. I'm feeling like I could still get hooked in with him, but I'm not going there. And I just wanted to get some help.
Well, he knows he's manipulating you. See, he cooperated a little more than you thought he would, because he still knows he can still get his, like, claws into you.
Yeah.
But you're being asked to end this because he's trouble. And, you know, you may not get the money, I have to tell you. And
right.
The only way you're going to get is if you string him along. And you know, then he might just give you some money to get back in your life. But, you know, sometimes when we've been enslaved to a man who's not really very nice and taking a lot of crap, we have to buy our freedom. So you might consider that money you're buying of your freedom.
Ah.
Because and just let it go is the best money ever spent. Because he will only give you that money if he thinks he can wheedle back in your life. And I don't think it's worth it. And,
right.
And he really has no intention of paying you unless he can get back in your world. You know, if you remember,
right.
we talked about his drinking and his addictions.
Yes.
I always get the death card in this guy. I mean, he's skating on thin ice here with his behaviors.
Yeah.
And you're not going to save him by any means, but I don't want you going down like a Titanic with him. So,
if he
drives under the influence, cracks up his car, and you start taking care of him, you'll be in bankruptcy by the time you finish that. Just know that I don't see him leaving unless you're pretty firm that it's over. I mean, if you want to get the money from him, I would advise you not to try to get it by being nice. Take him to small claims court.
Okay.
He may not love you. He may not love you, but too bad. But don't play his game to get the money. You know, he's not doing you a favor by paying you the money back. So
no.
It's a business
very
deal.
Helpful. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
You know, it's a business deal. You take him to court. I'll tell you that much. He's going to hate you, and he'll leave your life for doing that. But, you know, if you want to, I wouldn't even advise you to take it as a loss. I mean, you could do that better than keeping him in your life. You know, you could take him to small claims court. He may not pay it then anyway, but the point is you're giving him a run for his money, which is something nobody ever does. This man always takes what he wants, but he never pays for it.
Yep.
So, you know, look at it sort of strictly as a business deal. You know, you guys started out as soulmates, and that's the problem, because you still have that sort of wish that maybe we could bring it back up to soulmates. That's unfortunate with people who've been with soulmates that have really, through their addictions and unhealed issues, brought it down to toxic. But if you remember, we talked about he's not very fixable. He's manipulative, he's judgmental, and he's an alcoholic. Those three together, you're not fixing him.
Right.
So, you know, kind of get rid of that you can fix him. He's going to change. I don't care how much he looks like he's cleaned up his act.
Exactly.
It is all an act. Soulmates are very telepathic, so he senses a moment of weakness with you. So if you're lonely, you're missing him, the house feels lonely, he'll just come into you at that moment. And, you know, that's the danger with these people, because they were our soulmates, because they have that telepathy with us. And
yeah, he's definitely telepathic, this guy. He has a lot of, he definitely has that in spades.
Right, and so he's taking advantage of your moments of weakness. And if you go back with him, you're going to have to put all kinds of blinders on and pretend you're not seeing the things that you really should be seeing.
Right, I don't want to go back.
No, and I would, I know it's hard to let go. Remember we talked about toxic love being an addiction. When love goes to toxic, it's just as bad as any addiction. And if you've ever judged an addict or an alcoholic, I tell everybody, God gets us even with this one. Because toxic love is just as bad as heroin. It's not good for you, and you go back for more. And you feel guilty then, you kick in yourself, you feel weak. When you're trying to wean off of these people, you can't sleep, you can't eat. You feel like you're having, you know, panic. You know, all the things that you would get when you're trying to wean off, you know, any kind of drug. So,
it's amazing how the hooks.
Oh, God.
I got an email from him after I told him, you know, to pay up. And he, you know, put in that his daughter had been diagnosed with MS. And that was such a hook for me to hear after I feel guilty asking for money, because now he's
Well, don't you think he told you that? Now, his daughter's MS has nothing to do with your money.
Right.
So, again, they know how to guilt us, these people. They're evil geniuses. They know how to push our buttons. And, again,
exactly.
All God asks us is just the facts. Okay, if she has MS, that's a fact, but he owes you money, that's a fact. And
right.
they're not interrelated. And he was hoping you'd feel sorry, and you're such a good old soul, you'll feel bad, and you won't ask for your money, or you'll take him
right.
back. It's all manipulation. And it's hard to realize that these people are very calculated in their manipulations. But once
right.
you start really catching on to it, you know, life is not very mysterious, neither is love. And once you start realizing people's manipulations, I'm like, I just laugh all through my day half the time when I see people doing stuff. I'm like, oh, man, how obvious
yeah,
is
yeah.
that? And then I'm realizing it's not obvious to anybody but me, but, like, it's so clear now because the blinders are off. Get the blinders
right.
off. Manipulators are manipulators. They use the sweet techniques. They use the dumber than dumber. They use the Hitler to bully us. I mean, they got a million little traps to get us.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
mm-hmm.
he's just trying to get your rescuer. You know, your
right.
your stray cat thing. I mean, if I were you, I'd start picking up the stray cats in the neighborhood for a while. Get that out of your system. The stray cats
okay.
need help. But leave him. but
definitely don't want to go back. I'm learning how to respond in a way that's very businesslike and not fall prey to feeling sorry for him or his daughter. I just told them I'm praying
for them.
How
about feeling sorry
for
yourself that, you know, you need the money?
Yeah.
You know,
how
about, you know, that? And,
yeah.
you know, realize that, you know, he's a person who just thinks you're going to let it go. And, again,
exactly.
you know, taking him to small claims court, letting him know it's strictly business.
Right.
Might be the final whammy that helps you break away from him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
yeah,
that's all it takes.
He's going to want to stay around.
He's going to, and this way he's not going to like you. Once you take, you punish the inner circle, people we never punish, they know the blinders
mm-hmm.
are off. They know you're not the same girl. They leave us alone. We're useless to them then. We can't be manipulated. And somehow we've learned something. And they go find
right.
easy prey again. They go find somebody else that has to learn what you have to learn. You can't fix people. And, you
right.
know, he'll find another prey. He'll go prey on some other unsuspecting woman. And,
okay.
you know, she has her lessons to learn. Just be a little firmer and, you know, get
right.
your money back. You know, if you know, even if you take him to small claims court, he may not pay you anyway, but at least it helped end the
yeah.
situation. But be prepared in small claims court for him to lie.
Okay.
Totally lie. So you have to,
yeah.
Do you have it in writing? Do you have proof that he owes you? Because if you don't have anything
yeah,
in writing.
Yeah, so yeah, we've definitely had confirmation emails, you know, throughout
okay,
the
okay, good. You have to bring those
because
if it's not in writing,
yeah.
it'll never win because he'll just lie. You know, so be
yeah.
prepared. They absolutely lie. These people absolutely lie under oath. It's like they have, like,
okay.
no problem with it. It's, like, actually mm-hmm. shocking. And nobody gets, you know, nobody gets, like, thrown in jail for perjury anymore. I don't know why not. So
right.
the point is you see a lot of his colors anyway.
Oh, yeah.
That usually makes you really realize, oh, boy, well, how did I not see who this person was before? You just needed a little reinforcement from me that nothing's changed. He hasn't changed.
That's what I needed, you know, because I was feeling my own susceptibility, and I just had the feeling that he's going back with his ex-wife.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, he's trying because now with the daughter, they could play that
That's
game and the daughter will be so happy and it'll be all the rescuing each other and, you know, they'll all come
right.
back. Yeah. Let them, they deserve each other, those two.
Okay.
And don't be
that's
jealous.
That's what I felt was happening this all summer, that was kind of, you know, forming again. And
believe me, he would leave you in a huffy heartbeat if it was all the way settled with her. So, you know, he'd be like, goodbye. He'd be like leaving you in a second going, goodbye, I'm with her.
Oh, he'd leave in a minute to go back over to her.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
here you're feeling
right.
bad, and meanwhile he's got all he's doing is trying to figure out who's his next meal ticket.
Right, and she's got plenty of money, so I think that that's what I sensed that, you know, that that was coming through, that she wouldn't really, that there wouldn't be a problem there, you know, for him having to work or do anything.
Right, and that's what he's looking for, a free ride.
Right.
So, you know, bless him and let him go. Wish him well. If he has her, he'll leave you alone anyway. And that's more
exactly.
the reason to go after the money, because he'll have it.
Right. Okay.
He'll get it from her. He'll get it from her.
It just feels like all karma for me. I feel like something about all of this stuff and fathers and daughters, and I'm really praying that I can see what I've seen. I really get it now, and that I can move on and make other choices, and that there are other things in the cards for me.
Right, and actually
really
you have a wonderful, wonderful life opening up, but you have to close this.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just have to close it. And however it takes to close it, close it. Because if he's going to keep coming in and out of your life, he's going to sabotage everything that the universe will bring you.
Right.
If he's
going to
keep coming with
force.
His sob stories, you know, there's always some reason. These people are always thinking Titanic. There's always something going wrong that they, you know, that's their life. You know, we're older souls. We dot our I's, maintain our papers. We should coast through this life so easily, but we have all these sinking Titanics bringing us down with them.
Okay.
You know, so he's one of those people. There's always drama in his life.
Oh, always drama. Absolutely.
And don't mistake
email.
Passion for drama. Do you understand that? You want passion without drama.
Okay. Yeah.
So call in again.
Yeah.
Let us know how you're doing.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thanks very much.
Hey,
okay,
have a nice evening.
Okay, Cindy, you too.
Hey,
bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so far good. I'm going over to a 510. I think that's California. And so far I haven't screwed up the whole boards here, so I'm hoping this works too. Hi, it's Cindy. You're live on the air.
Yes, hi, Cindy. This is Camille, and I am calling you from California.
Thank you that I didn't mess it up. I'm like thinking, I'm going to mess up this without Nicole. I'm trying my best.
No.
And anyway, so what's happening? I know we've been speaking to you a little bit about your life. What's happening today? Did you I think fill us in a bit for my radio listeners what you might have on your mind.
Yeah, what's on my mind today is I've known this person, Dion, for a couple of years now, and we do have a connection, and I'm just curious as to if our friendship will develop into something more.
Okay. He has a lot of commitment issues, this one. So I think he's happy with the way it is. Mm. And if you want more, you're going to maybe have to push it a bit, because I think you're going to feel very bad if you've been sitting around waiting and he finds somebody else, but he doesn't know how you feel. Have you let him know how you feel? That you want more than friendship?
I have not gone as deeply into it as I could, but I have made it, we both made each other aware that we are interested in the other.
Right, but you've known him a few years. How long does this take to launch the ship here?
Exactly.
So once it's been made clear what you want and it doesn't go anywhere, you know, it's up to you to kind of figure out, well, I've said it, let me say it again, and let me see where it goes, because otherwise it's a little bit of wasting time here and perhaps not moving on to find somebody else soon enough.
Right.
You know, he's the kind of man who's got, like, a lot on his plate himself. Are you aware of that?
Right, yes.
And I'm not so sure that that isn't part of the problem, that you know, maybe he doesn't know if he could take on, you know, another person in his life or other people. So, you know, I'm not thinking, it's not that he doesn't like you or care about you. None of that's in the cards. He likes you. He thinks you're a smart woman. He enjoys your company, you know, the whole bit. But, you know, at this point, if you're looking for a relationship, you're going to have to start moving it forward or you know, maybe even taking 2 feet away from him, because he sort of got you but doesn't have you. So, you know, he hasn't lost you yet. If you really told him, look, I want more than friendship, I want something else, you know, can you do it?
if he says no, then maybe you need to, like, let him miss you and not just be his friend.
Right.
You don't really just need a friend. You know, you want a lover. You want more than just a friend. But if you
right.
don't start taking it forward, I'm not seeing him moving this forward. This could be going on for 5 years. He could call me 5 years from now with the same question.
Oh, gosh. No, I don't want to have to do that.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
And,
yeah.
And there's a new kind of master-slave archetype that I can't say enough on my radio show, and it's the men calling all the shots when we can come close and when we can't, and how close.
Right.
This is ridiculous now. I mean, it's...
Right.
It's, I think as a sisterhood of women, we're going to have to tell guys, look, either putting your 2 feet into relationships or we're not doing it, so that they, because they're all doing it across the board. They're saying, well, I'm not sure if I want this because I'm not close. So women are sitting there at the mercy of men now. This is like
right.
5,000 years, you know, before the women's liberation movement. What happened?
I don't know.
It wasn't like this, you know, it wasn't like this in the 70s. At all, when in the 60s, when women were trying to be liberated, it was more the equals going on there. This is something entirely new. You know, I'm 60 years old. I've never seen this where men tell you how close you can get or not.
Right.
You know, and
right.
I saw it a little bit when I was younger, but I walked away from it. I was like, I don't need this.
Oh gosh.
You know what I'm talking about? The men have decided, and it's a problem where they just can't come to the plate, but they won't let women go, and they'll say, well, you can come
yeah.
close this week, but now I'm not so sure about next week. So don't call me,
yeah,
we'll call
I,
you.
Yeah, I've seen
so,
that. I've seen that.
And they can do this for a very long time. So, you know, I want you to love yourself the way you love your daughter. If a man was doing this to your daughter, what would you tell her?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
You might, you know, and that's, you know, the point. You're a good catch. You know, why would someone leave you out in the open market where somebody else could find you? They have to be more afraid of loving you than losing you. Because once you're drawn to somebody, why wouldn't you want them to know that? You know,
yeah, right.
That's why I said, I don't want you getting hurt because a year from now he tells you he's in love with somebody else. Because, you know, somebody else jumped on him. They didn't give him this,
okay.
you know, back and forth nonsense for so be like call in and let us know what happens, but try to assert it forward a little bit. It may
okay.
put the relationship to an end possibly, so you have to be not afraid to lose his friendship,
right?
But it could also bring it forth to love her. I'm seeing look, it is 50-50 with him. He's not sure which way he's going to go, so
I
you
can
might
see
as well
that with him.
I mean, one day he says, oh, I want to go all the way and be his love. The next day he goes, oh, nah, let's just end it and run. So you might as well find out, you know, push comes to shove. And even if he says, well, I can't do that, doesn't mean it's over. Maybe he'll miss you for 6 months and then decide, okay, I'm ready. I mean, it does happen, by the way. When
yeah,
they realize they can't do this, you'd be surprised how many of my clients are with men who did this for years. And I told them, just give them a choice. And the men said, no, I don't want this. They were back 6 months later, 2 months later, a month later, a minute later, when they really knew they were going to lose the woman. So it's, you know, him maybe realizing that he's going to lose you if he doesn't step up to that plate.
Okay. I like that. Okay.
And, you know, of course, you know, this is not you. You've not usually been this way with men. This is a little different with you.
Yes, it
and
is.
You know, I think it's because you have your baby now, and maybe, you know, she's a priority and all of that. But think about it: if you didn't have her, would you be waiting around for this so much? I don't think you would. I think you would have already said, "Well, what are we?"
Yeah, and it's funny because I actually knew him. Even I've known him for many years, but it wasn't until the past 3 years that we've kind of looked at each other with more of an interest, a romantic interest, and we've actually discussed, but not, as you say, we have not discussed it in that capacity, but yeah, I kind of put him on the back burner while I did go on ahead and have a brief relationship with my daughter's father that didn't work out or whatever. So, yeah.
Right. And that's why, you know, see where it goes. Call in and let us know.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thanks.
Have Bye-bye. A great evening. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, now I have another caller, a 516 number. Hi, it's Cindy. You're live on the air.
Hello, is it me?
Yep, it's you. This is Cindy, and who is this?
Hi, my name is Eleanor.
Hi, Eleanor. I know you've been, you know, waiting a few minutes, and I'm sure there's something on your mind, and if you want to jump right in, I'll try to help you.
Thank you. I just got out of a very long relationship, and before that, a long marriage. And I just connected with some guy I met online, and there really was a spiritual connection. I'm just wondering if you're feeling anything coming up for me or if I'm going to meet a soulmate soon.
Okay, so what happened to the one you had with the spiritual connection with?
Well, I'm just wondering. I haven't heard from him recently, so I'm just wondering.
Okay,
if,
I will tell you this. We were, you know what I was talking about with Camille on the last call, the men being the new masters over women?
I heard a little bit of that, yeah.
Okay, the men are now this way. They're a new breed of master. They don't think they own women. And, you know, there's the mommy to boys that don't want to grow up, which is an archetype that's not good, but there's a new one. The men come close, and then they decide, I'm not sure I want to be this close, so I'm just going to, like, not call her. Don't call me, we'll call you. And it has nothing to do with whether they care about us or not. It has to care with their commitment phobia. So realize with him, and I've been saying as a sisterhood of women, I don't know what happened to women that this is setting back the women's liberation movement 5,000 years. Like, women as a sisterhood have to go together and say, look, if a man comes close and then suddenly he doesn't call or says, well, I'm not sure I want this, so, like, let's see what happens, you know, maybe later. Women have to say, see ya. So that if enough women say, we don't want this, the men will have to step up to the plate. That man cared about you, but he had the same connection, but he's really a commitment phobic. He wasn't necessarily looking for higher love online. You know, he was, you know, looking for maybe a mediocre love, maybe something less. But I think the deep connection scared him very much. And I don't want you to think you're crazy, like, did I make this up? He didn't feel any of it. No, he felt it. But, you know, the Internet has created what I call the Internet monster men. They say they want love even when they first go on it. And then they say, they go on 3 dates. And on the 3rd date, they meet a soulmate. And then they go, well, there's 400 other women that want to date me. And so they leave that one, and then they go check out the other 300. And,
right.
And that's what's going on here with him. I mean, he's not out of the picture. He's probably going to call you. But if I were you, you know, this is a new kind of taking crap in the name of love that's really more painful than probably your first two long-term relationships were, if this goes on, because he'll come close, he'll bring you close again, and then he'll, like, run away again. And it can really be very devastating to women. So when he does call and he looks like he will, the problem is he's almost doesn't want to hurt you because you're a very nice woman. You know, if you weren't such a nice woman, he'd come back and just, like, have sex with you and, like, you know, run away. You're a nice person. I don't think he wants to hurt you per se. But if he does come back and it looks like there's a good indication he's going to call maybe in the future, a month or two down the line, ask him what's his intention. You take some control of the situation. Is your intention to stick 2 feet in here and see what's here? If not, I don't do this. You know, and it's a little bit telling, you know, men, you know, I don't want this. There's a whole breed of women that have created the booty call fuck buddies, friends with benefits hookups. They don't know what they are to these men. I this is ridiculous. You introduce who this is, my hookup. So you are in the dating world now. It's a new arena. It's different.
Will I be meeting anybody soon? Anybody?
Yes, there's a very nice man here in the future. It's a little bit of standing on your own 2 feet without a man. Have you done that?
It's been a couple weeks.
Okay, because women really need, before the prince comes, to stand on their own 2 feet, emotionally, psychologically, financially, and spiritually. And then the prince comes. So a little bit being happy by yourself for a bit.
Thinking when that might happen?
Yeah, it looks like probably, what month is your birthday?
May.
Okay, because you opened up a good year with your May birthday. He's actually a very loving and smart man. So it looks like probably between now and the next 6 months to a year, you should be in, you know, have met someone that's much more serious and, or, you know, wants what you want. Do you tell men what you want from the beginning?
I'm pretty direct.
Good. Good. And sometimes it's going to scare them off, but it's only going to scare off the runners, the people who are going to run anyway. You know,
right.
It's better to scare them off in the beginning than let them hang around for 3 months and then run.
Exactly.
So,
well, I say what I mean and mean what I say. That's the kind of person I am.
And good. And that sometimes scares men because they're not used to that anymore. There's a lot of game playing in the dating world. How long have you been out in the dating world now, by the way?
It's been about a month since my last relationship broke.
That's why I'm trying to tell you, you've been in two long-term relationships. The dating game has changed. And it's this whole thing of men coming close and then running away and let me see what else is out there. So I just need you to be prepared. Sometimes they're just not looking for higher love. The first 400 men that come out of the dating sites are usually sex addicts. They're looking for sex. And,
wow.
You know, there's a three-date rule, and women expect it to sleep with them in three dates. And if it looks like that's not going to happen, they don't call. And if it happens that there is a connection, they run because that's not what they're looking for. So, you know, be prepared to trust your gut on things. And, you know, it's a little bit eye-opening and it's a little bit rude awakening, but it is a different dating world. So I don't want you getting hurt because, you know, a lot of men, they'll talk the talk, they'll tell you everything you want to hear. They tell you everything you want to hear. You tell them, I want a man who's loyal, who's trustworthy. Yeah, it's me. Mm-hmm. They sleep with you and you never hear from them again.
And it's a matter of screening them.
It's a matter of trusting your gut. If your gut tells you something's not kosher, just trust it. And otherwise, you're going to find yourself being hurt a lot out there. And it's just a little tougher skin. And you have to be able to not take it personally, by the way. It's not about you.
I'm patient. Yeah, I'm beginning
to
question myself.
No, I'm glad you called in today because you needed to hear maybe what's going on in that dating world now. And, you know, I'm 60 years old and I haven't talked about feminism in years, but I'm starting to talk about it now. If women don't start putting some really, you know, rules down that we're not doing this with men. Men are not the bosses. How they became this whole big thing. I mean, the women, they don't even want to, they can't call, you know, don't call me, I'll call you. The men don't call, they text, you know, it's like ridiculous. So, you know, you might want to draw some healthier boundaries from the beginning with these people, but are you on Match.com? Which one are you on?
Plenty of Fish.
Plenty of Fish is the bottom feeders.
Oh.
Plenty of Fish has a lot of, because it's free. Invest in a better site, not even Match.com because they're not screening well. eHarmony screens a little better. You have to have a divorce certificate and things. But Plenty of Fish is the bottom feeders. Most of the men are married.
Oh.
They're not telling you that, so you better Google somebody's name because they're all lying if nothing comes up. To be a little more suspicious, and a lot of them are sex addicts. So,
oh, boy. Okay, so thank you for that tip. I appreciate that.
I know. It's one of those things. Who would have thought? You know?
Oh, boy. Well, you know,
that's
a different
world.
Don't
be surprised. Don't get discouraged. If you stay on Plenty of Fish, you're going to get discouraged because you're going to only see a lot of them are married and a lot of them are just looking to have sex. And Google a man's name, and if nothing comes up, he's probably not giving you his right name, by the way.
Oh, interesting.
So that's another thing. You know, older souls by nature are very trusting and they don't check up. I would advise you to check up. So,
thank you.
You know, well, good luck to you. Call in and let us know what's happening. We're just at the end of our show, so I have to wind it up. And call in again and let us know what's happening in your life.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great night.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so we're winding up a show here. Nicole wasn't here with me, but I managed to do okay. Must have had some angels with me. Please don't forget, if you get a moment, to vote for me for Best Psychic 2013 by going to my website, www.grantmeahigherlove.com. Good night.